Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to have a look at this story of Jonah and what it means for us and how we should react to your will and see joy in your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many of you have reluctantly done something that someone else wanted you to do and even gone as far as maybe trying to run away from it? Now, I remember when I was a young boy and my mum wanted to cut my hair, and I remember being very reluctant to have this done. It would have been back in the late 60s, so it was either a crew cut or a bowl cut, neither of which I fancied. Anyway, rather than to submit willingly to mum, I ran out into the backyard with mum chasing me, and I was running around all the fruit trees with her chasing me, and she wasn't happy. Today we're not really going to dwell on Jonah and the fish, but more on why Jonah tried to run away, and then the bigger picture of what God is doing here in this story. Jonah is a very different little story, big story, as it appears to be a story of opposites, where Jonah appears to be poles apart from God in what he wants Jonah to do. Let's start by focusing on a couple of parts of the little story that's happening here. Running away and God's forgiveness and mercy. Running away, God's forgiveness and mercy. So, why was Jonah running away? First of all, let's find out who Jonah was. From 2 Kings, we know that Jonah was a prophet of the northern kingdom after Israel split in two. And right at the very beginning of Jonah, it gives us a little bit of Jonah's family tree. In verse 1, Jonah, son of Amittai. He was a prophet. His name meant dove, and his father's name meant faithfulness. So his name meant dove, son of faithfulness, which is going to be an interesting detail as we go on. Dove, son of faithfulness. And that brings us to our first point, running away. Now, this all starts off pretty promising in the book of Jonah. Great, we're looking at a book of prophecy. What do prophets do? God gives them his word to spread or things to do, and they obey God. We're off to a great start. Jonah is going to spread God's word. But Jonah isn't really a book about prophecy. It's a book about the prophet. It's written about Jonah. Now, Jonah's always been a popular children's story in kids' church, with Jonah running away, getting thrown overboard and swallowed by a big fish. And what kid can't resist a story where someone gets vomited out of a big fish? But there's much more to this book than that. We've established who Jonah is. Dove, son of faithfulness. A prophet. And he gets the call in verse 2, doesn't he? Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wicked ways have come before me. Now, I apologise for the history lesson here, but it's important to set the background. Nineveh was probably the biggest city of the time in Jonah's world. It was the capital of Assyria, which was the most powerful country in the Middle East at the time. Assyria was one of Israel's nastiest enemies. God has asked Jonah to go and preach against the wicked ways of some of the nastiest people ever. What's Jonah's reaction to this? Run away! Now, I can't think of too many prophets that have just up and run away when God has asked them to do something. Many have asked questions and asked for signs, but I think Jonah's the only one that's run away. And let's face it, Jonah's being asked to go to the capital of one of the scariest people in the area and tell them how wicked they are, and if they don't repent, God will sort them out. It just doesn't look like something that would go down very well. Now, Jonah doesn't just decide to run away to a neighbouring country. He jumps on a ship and heads for Tarshish, what is now part of Spain. And the Greek historian Herodotus describes it as being beyond the Pillars of Hercules, the Straits of Gibraltar, or in Jonah's time, the ends of the earth. He couldn't have picked a place further away. But is Jonah running as far away as he can because he's frightened of the people of Nineveh? Or does the real reason run deeper than this? Is it because he's frightened, or is it because he knows what God is like? Jonah is, after all, a prophet and would be fully aware that if God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance, he knew that if they repented, God would be merciful. There are a few things going on here, and one is that God is asking Jonah to step out of his comfort zone. Jonah doesn't want to see his enemies, the people of Nineveh, saved. He's got a pretty good life in Israel and doesn't want to change that. He's quite happy supplying the odd prophecy to Israel. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh, so he tries to run away from God to the furthest place he can think of. Now, the author here is using extremes in Jonah to paint a picture, to tell the story. God's giving Jonah the hardest job in the worst place, and Jonah tries to run away as far as possible. In the Old Testament, God uses his chosen people to go and do his will and spread his word. That's his way. God could easily appear over Nineveh in any frightening way he desired and tell the people, repent. But that's not his way. He wanted Jonah, this so-called dove, son of faithfulness, to carry out this mission for him. Now, Jonah was happy to carry out what suited him and what he was comfortable with. But when the going got tough, or more to the point, God wanted him to do something he didn't want to do, he ran away. Well, we can be a bit like Jonah, can't we? Are there things that God wants us to do that we run away from? We might not physically run away, but we aren't prepared to submit to God on these things. Just like Jonah. Dove, son of faithfulness. It would seem like the author might be using a touch of irony here. Jonah is definitely not displaying faithfulness. The author's trying to get that message across to the people of his time, that they too could be like Jonah and only submit to God when they feel like it. And it hasn't changed that much, because I think we can be very much the same. Jonah might have been scared to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to see them saved. How would his own people view it if he did cause them to be saved? We can find it hard to submit to God. And that brings us to our second point, God's forgiveness and mercy. As we've seen, Jonah has tried to run away from God, but God causes a great storm. Jonah tells the crew the only way to save themselves is to throw him overboard, which they do. Storm stops. God wasn't going to let Jonah drown, though. He still had plans for him. A bit like my mother with the haircut. Now, I'm not sure if it's because she was fitter or smarter, but she eventually caught me and dragged me inside for that haircut. And thankfully, Unlike Jonah, it didn't involve being swallowed by a large sea creature. And of course, we know that that's what happened to Jonah. He was swallowed by a large aquatic animal. And while Jonah was in the fish, he prayed to God. He prayed that God would save him. Knowing God was forgiving and merciful, he seemed confident that this would happen. Once again, it appears that irony is being used. Jonah, who wasn't prepared to go and tell the Ninevites to repent and ask for forgiveness, is prepared to ask God to save him, even though he's running away from God. And of course, God does save him. The fish vomits him up onto dry land. But God doesn't leave it there. In the beginning of chapter 3, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." This time Jonah heads off to Nineveh. It would seem that Jonah is a reformed man and is willing to do God's bidding. He goes to Nineveh and preaches repentance. But it would still seem like he still doesn't want to see the Ninevites saved. He does the bare minimum. He had a pretty short message of repentance that he gave as he walked around Nineveh. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He's obviously not getting paid by the word. 8 words is all he spoke. Not a lot of information here. What have we done? Why are we going to be overthrown? What will happen to us after 40 days? Who is going to overthrow us? Jonah's message had a distinct lack of information, don't you think? Now, if someone came walking around Dalby making those statements, you'd probably think they were crazy and just ignore them. But not the people of Nineveh. Despite Jonah's lack of willingness and effort, God does the incredible. In verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Jonah wasn't even telling them that it was God wanting them to repent. But because God is forgiving and merciful, he let the Ninevites know it was him, regardless of Jonah's lack of info. Even the king gets to hear and respond. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." Even though Jonah has tried to run away, God has brought him to Nineveh to preach repentance. Even though Jonah doesn't give much information as to who wants them to repent and why, God still uses Jonah to cause them to repent. God pours out his forgiveness and mercy. But what does Jonah do? He gets angry with God and tells him he wants to die. And why? But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." And God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" But Jonah ignores God. He knew that God would save the people of Nineveh if they repented. He knows that God is forgiving and merciful. that he is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. So Jonah goes out of the city and sits down to watch and see what happens. Now, it's pretty hot out there, so God causes a vine to grow over Jonah to protect him from the sun. And Jonah was really happy to have the plant. But the next morning, God provided a worm which chewed the plant and caused it to die. Once again, Jonah tells God that he's so angry, he wishes he was dead. He's really starting to sound like a spoilt child, isn't he? God asks Jonah, is it right for you to be angry at the plant? What's Jonah's answer? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Jonah, it seems, is just becoming more and more petulant and irrational. But how does God answer him? But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many animals? God chides Jonah like the little child he's acting like. You're upset about the plant you neither tended or cared for. You're annoyed because it died. Isn't it right that I should care for 120,000 people of Nineveh who are headed in the wrong direction and running away from me? We see God's mercy and forgiveness here, not just to the people of Nineveh, but to their animals as well. And one of the things we've been doing with these little story, big story talks is pointing to Jesus. And now's the time we're going to zoom out and look at the big story. We've looked at the little story of how God has used an unwilling Jonah to save the people of Nineveh. And we'll see how the big story is of God using Jesus to save the world. The story of Jonah shows a complete contrast between Jonah the prophet and Jesus, God's ultimate and final prophet. The only thing they have in common is God has a mission for them both, prophets. But after that, Jonah runs away. Jesus embraces his mission. Jonah half-heartedly takes on his mission after God's second call. Jesus wholeheartedly carries out God's will. Jonah gets angry at God when he's merciful and forgiving. Jesus is mercy and forgiveness. Only through him can we be saved. God's ultimate act of mercy and forgiveness to us all. In John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God, through an unwilling Jonah, saved 120,000 Ninevites. But through Jesus, he gave all the world the chance to be saved. Through Jesus, God shows his grace and compassion on a sinful world. And through Jesus, God shows his great love and mercy for humanity despite their sin. And if you're here today, and maybe you've been coming to church for a while and have a different view of God, you may see God as a distant God or even a vengeful, punishing God rather than a God who is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And if you're unsure what to do to receive God's grace for forgiveness and abounding love, or you're new to church and you want to know more, talk to one of us in the ministry team, an elder, or a friend you know who does know God's grace and forgiveness. And what about us who do know God's grace, forgiveness, and abounding love. Are we a bit like Jonah? Are we choosing what we will do and what we won't? Jonah knew the character of God, and that's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Do we forget about God's saving grace from time to time? How can we keep reminding ourselves of it? Well, we can keep in God's word. When we're singing, we can be thinking about what we're singing. And we can be reminding each other continually that God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity, that you love us enough to have sent Jesus to save and redeem us for you, regardless of our sins. Even like Jonah, when we run away from you, you find a way to bring us back. And we thank you, Father, that you are a God that saves us and brings us back to you. Amen.